Welcome in to another special episode of Home Field Advantage. Hope you're all having a great week wherever or whenever you may be listening to us across our great country or our great land. No music, no bells and whistles today. You will notice I am on location at Radio Row in Las Vegas getting ready for the Super Bowl. Oh, just kidding. I'm actually not. I am recording, as always, from our Graziano Square location in beautiful Lisbon, Maine, the greatest state in the USA. That said, though, wish I could have been at Radio Row. Maybe someday. Maybe if you guys like, share, and subscribe enough, we'll get there and we'll have a big party. As for now, though, I'm Will Hyland. This is Home Field Advantage. And I had promised earlier in the week that I would do my Super Bowl preview on Thursday. Now, of course, can't really market it as my Super Bowl preview, but I'm going to say it anyway, and everybody can just come at me. I'm not calling it the big game. I'm not calling it the big hurrah. I'm not doing any of that. It's a Super Bowl preview, and I'm okay saying that. So my Super Bowl preview, I'd promised, would be out today, enough for you to listen to on the weekend. And it's going to be very organic. Like I said, no bells and whistles in this episode. Just my usual takes, as raw as they can be. But where I'll start is the last three seasons, the last two seasons, I have correctly predicted the Super Bowl winner. Heading into the 2021 season, fall 2021, I was very high on the Los Angeles Rams. I thought the addition of Matthew Stafford and was it his first or second year? Either way, it was one of his first 2 years out there. You know, they were loading up, they were due. And I thought the additions they made in that offseason were clearly enough to make them a Super Bowl favorite. A lot of people were still really high on San Francisco back then, and of course, you know, that arc has changed. We'll get to that more. People, you know, still thought Tampa Bay and Tom Brady might repeat. I bought all those arguments back then. But I was really high on the Rams in 2021. And then I saw the Kansas City Chiefs that year lose an AFC title game at home to Cincinnati. Cincinnati went on to lose to the Rams, and I was correct in that pick that the Rams are going to win Super Bowl 56. But in that game when Kansas City lost at home, I said, they're going to come back next year and they're going to win. They lost Tyreek Hill. Everybody thought, Tyreek Hill's gone. Patrick Mahomes, the Chiefs are going to be different. It's going to have to look different. No. Chiefs that year went out and they won the Super Bowl in 2022. And they did so being a really high-flying Eagles team that had a sexy offense and a new coach that everybody was in love with. And he sort of got a sense of inevitability from those Kansas City Chiefs last season. So I went 2 for 2 in picking the Kansas City Chiefs. I believe I had them beating I'll have to go back and listen. I think I had them beating the Rams in the Super Bowl in 2022. I was wrong on my Rams pick last year. But I say all of this is not to gloat, but to just tie that pick together with this pick. And what I mean by that is this. This year's Super Bowl matchup is made up of two teams with a destiny. That's my overall thesis. Both of these teams are teams of destiny. On one hand, I talked about San Francisco a few minutes ago, but on one hand, you have the 49ers, who have been through a roller coaster at the quarterback position. In 2019, Jimmy Garoppolo led them to a Super Bowl berth, and had he not thrown a late fourth quarter interception, they probably beat Kansas City and win their Super Bowl. Then, of course, you run into health problems with Jimmy Garoppolo. And you run into health problems with Trey Lance, who they drafted in 2021 to be his heir apparent and eventual replacement. Neither one of them are employed by the 49ers anymore. Then in that same 2022 season, you have an emergence of Brock Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant in the draft, taken last. Nobody cared one bit about him until he showed up midway through the 2022 season, lit it up, including a game against Tom Brady. And at that point, you're thinking, this 49ers team, they're a juggernaut and they're going to win the Super Bowl last year. There was even talk about possibly bringing in Brady or that they had misevaluated the quarterback position when choosing Garoppolo or Lance over Brady when Brady went to Tampa. But when I say they're a team of destiny, I say that they lost that game in Philadelphia a year ago in the AFC, in the NFC title game. And I felt the same way about them going into this season that I felt the way that I felt about the Chiefs the year before. When you lose a title game and you're that close to making it to the Super Bowl and your roster is that talented, it's not uncommon for you to then decide internally let me rephrase that. It's not then out of the question for you to choose as a team, especially when a lot of that team comes back, that we left something on the table, or that we were this close and that we really shouldn't have lost that game, and that we're confident enough to do that again. They were a quarterback away a year ago. And it's not because Brock Purdy wasn't ready yet. Now, I've had disagreements with some people about Brock Purdy. I think Brock Purdy is good and strong. We'll find out on Sunday if he's great. But I've always disagreed that it doesn't matter if it was Lance or Sam Darnold or Brock Purdy. Going into this season, it had to be Brock Purdy. That was the destiny. Brock Purdy, last year as a rookie, was poised to go to the Super Bowl as a rookie. His injury in the first quarter in Philadelphia made this team a team of destiny. Because now he gets another crack at the can. Much like in 2021 season, when Joe Burrow had been injured the year before, he goes in his second year and he leads that Bengals team to the playoffs. Much like the Patrick Mahomes team that has lost an AFC championship game and then the next year won the Super Bowl. That's the team of destiny that San Francisco is this year. Not to mention that they have acquired in the last 2 years Christian McCaffrey, who's one of the best skilled players of this century. So this 49ers team is a team of destiny. They were born to be here this year. That's why I felt so confident in the early part of the summer, or in fall, picking them to win the NFC. An NFC that was weak. An NFC where there was a lot of expectations on Philadelphia. And for some reason, they didn't rise to the occasion. There were still a lot of question marks about, is Purdy the guy heading into this year? He proved that he was. And whether or not you want to call him a game manager or a, you know, or an autopilot or whatever you want to describe Brock Purdy, just because he's not the biggest guy or the sexiest thrower and he doesn't, you know, throw incomplete passes from his knee, I enjoy watching Brock Purdy play. I think he's a smart kid. And I think he is sometimes mistake prone. And I'm not sure if he's going to start in the league for 12 to 15 years, like a lot of his contemporaries. But I think Brock Purdy is capable to win San Francisco the game. That all said, I also think Kansas City is a team of destiny. Kansas City reminds me of an early Patriots team, and then even the late Patriots teams that won Super Bowls in close years. Kansas City was not playing their greatest football in the middle of the year. They weren't. I forget exactly who they have lost to, but there was a time, I think, where they lost maybe 3 out of 5 or something like that. I don't have their schedule in front of me. But, you know, November, December, they weren't the same Chiefs juggernaut that we were used to seeing in years past. But that was also the case when they won their first Super Bowl in the Mahomes era against San Francisco, of all teams, in the 2019 season. You'll remember that this is a rematch of the Super Bowl that took place 4 years ago. I think everybody knows that by now. It's the closest Super Bowl rematch between two teams since the Patriots and Giants squared off in 2011 and 2007. The Giants won both of those games, of course. I hate to remind myself of that. But this Super Bowl is more than just a rematch of a few years ago, and it's more than just, you know, the best team in one conference and the best team in the other. And sort it feels like an inevitable Super Bowl. Because as I said, San Francisco was meant to be here this year, and I believe Kansas City was too. Much like in 2019, they weren't playing their best football in the middle part of the season. I talked about that. But also, this year, they went through a harder road. Think about what I always said about Mahomes going into this year. He hasn't yet won a road playoff game, a true road playoff game. He hasn't quite shown that he can win without amazing skill players. Travis Kelce's still a Hall of Fame tight end. Let's not forget that. But still, this was his worst supporting cast this year. Now, I'm not saying last year was great. I'm pretty sure it was, what, Sammy Watkins and Juju Smith-Schuster or something like that. So I'm not pretending. He did win a Super Bowl last year with a less than desirable cast of characters. But there were a lot of questions about Mahomes taking that next elite step. We already knew he was an elite quarterback. He had 2 rings. But this year, there was still some sort of reservation, for myself included, especially when they were struggling in the middle of the year, about what he would be. What's it going to take? And I said this in December, that this league, this playoff run was going to look different for everybody. The Chiefs are going to have to go on the road. They hadn't yet ever done that. They went on the road to Buffalo and to Baltimore, which are both hard places to play. And I forget if they were favored or not against the Bills. I know they weren't favored against the Ravens. But they won both of those games in sort of a late 2010s Patriots kind of way. And I said this last week. Sometimes you got to go win an ugly road playoff game. It has to happen. Brady had to do that in 2006, right? Going on the road, winning a really ugly playoff game in San Diego. He had to do it against Mahomes in a really hard-fought 2018 AFC Championship game. And then he did it 3 times in the 2020 run to the Super Bowl. Brady had to go. He beat a Washington team that had a really good defense on the road. He went to Drew Brees' house in Drew Brees' last game and beat him there. Then he went to Aaron Rodgers' house, Lambeau Field, and beat him there. And then he hosted Mahomes in the Super Bowl and won that game. So sometimes you have to do that. And the Chiefs have done that this playoffs. They beat the Dolphins in frigid temperatures. They beat the Bills in a practical blizzard. And then they went to a loud place and beat the MVP on his home turf. So unlike in the past, where the Chiefs have sort of coasted to the Super Bowl by beating up on teams like the Titans and the
Houston Texans and then getting lucky against Cincinnati last year with the help of the officials. This year, they earned their way there. There's no fluke. But that said, the destiny of Kansas City is not what they've done. It's what you know they're capable of doing. And that's what gets me to my closing thing here. My full prediction for the game is it's going to be imperative that the 49ers start fast and put their foot on the gas. Because if there's one thing Kansas City knows how to do, it's to pull wins out of their ass. They did it in last year in the Super Bowl when they won. They did it in 2019 in the Super Bowl when they won against San Francisco the first time. They're losing or they're struggling or the game is close and it doesn't look like it's on their side. And then boom, momentum changes in an instant. Kansas City knows how to do that. And the adversity they face this year, some of their losses, like that Buffalo loss with the offside and whatnot, like, if not for that offside, they would have pulled that game out of their ass with that lateral play. You know what I mean? Like, that's what happens with this Kansas City Chiefs team. Mahomes is the X factor, and he can do that. Travis Kelce has been there and done that. The offensive line is playing really strong. Joe Tooney is probably one of the best in the league. I think there were some health concerns about him, but I think he's going to be ready to go. So that's the one key factor. If you're San Francisco, you have to start fast and play fast the whole game because you can't afford to let the score get too close too late. You also can't afford to fall behind too far too early. And so San Francisco has to be really careful. Which leads me to my second thing is turnovers are going to matter. Turnovers are the only reason why the Patriots were competitive with Kansas City earlier on in this year. Turnovers are what has caused some Super Bowls to be flipped on its head. Think about the Patriots 28-3 comeback. Basically started with a strip sack from Hightower on Matt Ryan. Think about how the 49ers blew their last Super Bowl appearance against Kansas City. Jimmy throws that pick late in the fourth quarter. So if San Francisco is going to be competitive, which I think they can be, that's what has to happen. And the third thing is coaching. I believe it was Troy Aikman who told Dan Patrick that earlier this week that he thinks Shanahan's the best coach in the league. I don't disagree with that. This year, I think Shanahan has proven he's among the best in the league. I don't know if he's better than Andy Reid. I don't know if he's better than, you know, what we saw out of Dan Campbell in Detroit this year, to be honest. If we're looking at solely this year. But I do believe that he's a top five coach in the league. And I think Andy Reid is too. And so coaching is going to be a huge factor. In some of these big games, look way back to the Philadelphia-New England Super Bowl in 2004. Andy Reid was going against Bill Belichick. In that game, second half adjustments were key. The Patriots were sort of stuck in neutral. And then they took it to Philadelphia in the second half physically. And then look at Kyle Shanahan in the second half as a coordinator in 2016-17 when Atlanta had a huge lead on New England and didn't run the ball to close out the game. So with these two coaches, as brilliant as they are, late game decision making is going to matter. Think about the criticisms we had toward Dan Campbell a couple weeks ago after the decision not to kick a field goal. Think about the criticisms we used to have about Andy Reid with game management and clock management. As brilliant as these guys are, there's still the door open for a coaching decision that's going to matter. It could be a fourth down decision. It could be a timeout or lack thereof. It could be a challenge. The Super Bowl is always usually, it usually comes down to one or two things, right? One or two plays you look at. And a lot of them are coaching related. Think about Sean Payton's decision to kick an onside kick to open the second half in 2009. That won the Saints the Super Bowl, essentially. I mean, yeah, Peyton Manning threw a, you know, his proverbial pick six in the second half. But that was essentially a coaching decision. Think about Malcolm Butler being elevated to the nickel corner over, I believe, Kyle Arrington in the 2015 game or Super Bowl 49 with the Pats and the Seahawks. That won the Patriots the Super Bowl because Malcolm Butler was in position to make that play. And then conversely, a couple years later, you could argue that the decision to bench Malcolm Butler might have cost the Patriots the Super Bowl. So coaching decisions, whether it be personnel, timeout, clock management, kicking game, they matter. And there's usually one or two of them in a Super Bowl that decide the outcome of the game. And so look for that. So basically, we're looking for coaching. We're looking for turnovers. And we're looking for which team starts the fastest. I give the edge in all of those categories to the Kansas City Chiefs. Look, both teams are a team of destiny. But I like Andy Reid. I think he's a good coach. I believe that Patrick Mahomes is less turnover prone. He's just more experienced. And I believe that the Chiefs have an ability to make themselves a chameleon. They can be whatever you want them to be. They've shown this postseason that they're content winning a 17-10 game. San Francisco has shown this postseason that they've gotten in some big holes. They were in a big hole against Detroit. Detroit coached themselves out of that big hole, right? They were in a big hole against Green Bay, and Jordan Love threw a late pick, and that sort of led them to a victory. So in many respects, San Francisco is sort of falling into these traps. And you can't afford to do that against a team that's won two Super Bowls and against a coach who's been to, what, four? I think, yeah, he's been to four Super Bowls and countless conference title games and a quarterback that's 1-2 already and is headed for Canton. You can't have that discussion. You can't have that that issue arise in a Super Bowl if you're San Francisco. And so that's why I believe the Chiefs are going to win this game. I picked the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl. I believe they're a team of destiny. Both teams are a team of destiny. But this Chiefs team feels like this is the win that would put them in the driver's seat to be called a dynasty. They blew that opportunity against Brady a few years ago. Tom Brady, Patriots, they won that game. Tom Brady and the Buccaneers, they won that game. In 2018, Kansas City lost that game to Brady at home. You know, that was supposed to be the passing of the torch game. Then they lost that other passing of the torch game from Brady's dynasty with New England / Tampa. This feels like it could be a passing of the torch in some respects. If it hasn't happened already, I think it has. For Kansas City to become the 2020s dynasty version of the Patriots into 2010s and 2000s, the Cowboys in the 90s, the Niners in the 80s, the Steelers in the 70s, the Packers in the 60s. It feels like that kind of Super Bowl. I feel like they are a team of destiny. And it has less to do with who might be in the suite with the Kelce family or who might be doing a TikTok after the game or who might, you know, be doing all the commercials on TV. This is a Kansas City Chiefs team that last year thought nobody believed in them. This year, being a 3 seed, having to go on the road, having to deal with the media circus and the scrutiny, having to deal with the question marks about their losses midseason, they feel, if they thought they had an axe to grind last year, I think they feel even more so that they have one this year. So as a result, my pick, Kansas City 27, San Francisco, 17. That's my pick. I picked Chiefs over Niners at the beginning of the season. It came to fruition in the Super Bowl, and I'm sticking with that pick as I have the past few years. My winner pick just so happens to be part of the overall Super Bowl pick, and I'd be remiss if I deviated this late in the game. All right, so that is my Super Bowl pick for 2024, Super Bowl 58. I'm excited to watch the game and see what comes true, what doesn't come true. But I think win or lose, Brock Purdy is a guy you can root for. He's a great man of faith. He's a great role model for kids. And I think win or lose, the Chiefs becoming sort of America's team, I guess is good for football. As a Patriots fan, I loathe it. I heard Dan Patrick tell Troy Aikman earlier this week, too, that nobody really got on board with the Patriots dynasty. You know, a lot of the cheating scandals sort of hurt that. But I think people nationwide are somewhat getting on board with the Chiefs dynasty because a lot of people are buying into the GOAT talk and all that. You know, I sort of live in a Patriots echo chamber. But I can't deny that that is a discussion that's happening. We'll have plenty of time to talk about that no matter what happens on Sunday. And I do think there are still large swaths of the public that want the Chiefs to lose because, you know, you root against the winner, you root for the underdog. But time will tell. Time will tell. Anyway, that's going to do it for this episode of Home Field Advantage. Hope you have a great rest of your week and that you enjoy the Super Bowl. Stay safe. Don't drink and drive. Do all those common sense things. Enjoy the commercials. Enjoy the halftime show. But we'll be back next week. We'll break it all down. But until then, my name is Will Highland. You've been listening to Home Field Advantage.